Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by IT Pro TV, the fun and entertaining way to sharpen your IT skills. Visit itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. And by the Ring video doorbell. Stop crime before it happens and make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Go to ring.com/allaboutandroid and get up to $150 off a Ring of Security kit. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 358, recorded on Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. We're your weekly source for latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I am Florence Ion.
How's it going, Flo? Flo from on the other side of the bay.
I am. You know, busy day today.
I understand.
Kind of hard to get in the car.
I understand.
Get out there.
At least you made it. Ron decided, like, he had better things to do or something.
No, I actually don't Ron know. Is, I mean.
What is he doing?
He's on a personal journey.
Oh, okay. We should talk because I don't actually know what that journey is.
I don't know either. I'm just making that up. I just want every full disclosure. I make everything up about Ron on the show.
Okay, good. Good.
We don't know where he goes.
He's actually having a very boring time right now in reality.
Very boring tonight.
Yeah. But joining us in Ron's absence, the triumphant return of Daniel Tyson from Ozdroid.net at Frog Hollow on Twitter. How's it going, Daniel?
I am fantastic. I am a little tired. It is just gone 2:30 in the morning here in Barcelona.
Oh, so. My goodness.
But surviving.
Anytime someone comes on this late at night, I just have to thank you profusely because you are literally sacrificing your sleep to come on an Android show.
I actually took the high road. I came home early from an event and went to sleep. So I've had some sleep. I've actually had a good solid 4 or 5 hours sleep.
I was actually at
an event with Matteo. I saw him. I literally, as I was walking out the door, and I didn't have time to go and say hello. So I left, came home, had some sleep. I'm ready to rock.
Nice. Well, I guess that's the way to do it. 5 hours of sleep. That's what I got last night. And I have no real good reason for that. You were busy. You were moving and shaking at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. What is your internal clock? What is your normal time back home?
I honestly don't know. I think it's the middle of the day. I think it's around about 10:30 in the morning back in Australia. So
okay.
It's one of those things. I have no idea what time it is.
So you've quickly adjusted. Yeah, it's kind of a mind-bending thing, being a world traveler. We're super stoked to have you on, though, Daniel. Thank you for joining us and sacrificing your sleep. And we've got a lot to talk about. Obviously, it's Mobile World Congress. You know, throughout the course of the year, we've been doing the show enough times that we realize throughout the course of the year, there are certain key moments where we know that news is going to be crazy, and Mobile World Congress week is one of those moments. We've got all the news from there, of which there is many, including Samsung Galaxy S9, Nokia and its commitment to Android One, the Alcatel One X, which, from what I understand, Daniel actually has had for a little bit, Sony's Xperia XZ2 lineup, and that's just scratching the surface. We've got a whole lot more, so let's waste no time, Victor. It's time for the news from Mobile World Congress.
I'm reimagining the newsy voice. Here's Android news.
I like it. I think you keep working on that. In a couple of episodes, it's going to be indecipherable from the previous newsy voice.
Cool. I appreciate that, Jason.
Maybe a little nasally. But that's okay. Everybody has their own personality that they bring
back
to the
then,
news bumper.
People were very nasally.
That's true. Very nasally.
There are a lot of things in the air that people were breathing.
Yes, they weren't breathing chemicals like we do now. So I think we have to start with Samsung, right? They had an event on Sunday. And they're kind of the big player in the Android world. Samsung Galaxy S9, the S9 Plus, both announced this weekend. Actually, we had live coverage. Father Robert Balasair and Ron Richards were doing that here at Twit. So if you want to find that, you can find the Twit specials at twit.tv/specials. But you probably already know all about the device, and we'll tell you all about it if you don't. Similar design to the S8. Actually, from the front, it looks very, very similar. 5.8-inch and 6.2-inch Super AMOLED panels. Fingerprint sensor that's relocated on the back so that it's not awkward anymore. Maybe a little small for my taste, but whatever. Beggars can't be choosers. Dual camera on the plus size, and it's actually a vertical array instead of a horizontal array. Snapdragon 845, so good to see that processor kind of finally hitting handsets. 4 gigs and 6 gigs of RAM, 3,000 and 3,500 milliamp hour battery, IP68 rated, and on and on and on. I haven't even got to the camera yet, but I'm just going to go ahead and stop there because, Daniel, I have a feeling you might know more than I do about this topic.
Mm-hmm.
I basically have literally when I was going to sleep, I didn't have it. When I've woken up, I actually have a Galaxy S9.
That's
so
it?
I have basically, while you've been talking, I've actually been setting up a new Galaxy S9. So
you went to sleep and you woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning and you had a phone shipped to you.
Did you give up a
Samsung
tooth?
Santa.
Did the tooth fairy visit?
Yeah.
The Samsung I would probably fairy. Give up a tooth to get at this.
All right. So did you get any hands-on at the event? Were you at the event that they held?
Yeah. So we had the whole presentation, which Samsung put off, and then obviously the demo area opened and every tech journalist in the place made a beeline for the devices. So as you guys know, the demo rooms are usually what we describe as pure hell. So
yeah,
trying to get their hands on, yeah, you get maybe 5-10 minutes with them and you can sort of have a play around with them. But like I said, I mean, the design of it is pretty much the S8. So if you've held an S8, you're very much going to be very familiar with the design. The main thing is that move the fingerprint sensor to the bottom of the camera, which makes it much easier to actually get your finger to, and you don't tend to then put your finger onto the camera, which is what a lot of people tended to do with both the Note 8 and the S8. So that's a much improved design. So yeah, and then it's going to come down to obviously the camera, which is the big tagline for the event.
Yeah, I mean, they prefaced the event by, you know, dropping a tagline in their promotional video or their promotional kind of poster, whatever. Specifically about the camera, so you knew it was going to be focused, and you're like, well, what's new? Is it just that it has the dual cameras? But it actually has a mechanical adjusting aperture, right? Talk about that a little bit. How does that work?
Well, it's basically offers the... It's more that in certain circumstances it will use the lower apertures, or so it can actually open up and get a lot more light in. So the improvement in the low light effects has been just absolutely amazing. We did some testing beforehand where they actually took us into a room which we basically couldn't see what was in there. And the amount of light that it can capture from that looked almost like it was daylight. And it was able to pick up details on things in that. Like, say we had there was a small plant in the background, you could actually pick up the individual leaves on that.
Wow.
And then, of course, if it doesn't need that, it can then use like the f2.4 aperture, which basically allows it to get a better shot in that certain light when, obviously, in great light, every camera can take a great shot. And basically, yeah, it just looked great. So it's really the reimagined sort of thing. And I'm very impressed with the very limited time that we've had with it.
Not only that, slow motion capture, 960 frames per second at 720p. That's kind of ridiculous. Is this the first phone that's doing it at that rate, at that resolution, or is that Sony?
The first one was actually Sony last year with the Xperia XZ Premium. They launched with the 960 frames per second. It did something like 0.2 of a second, which stretches it out to about 5 seconds or something like that. Sony then stepped it up this year, and we'll talk about that later. It's now full HD, so sort of one up on that sort of thing. But this is very nice to start with. I mean, Samsung's using their new ISOCELL cameras, which is sort of something that's different on different parts of the world, but they're getting more into the camera technology. And basically, this is a good start right out of the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
But user experience? What about user experience? Do we have anything different with the camera interface, the app? Is there anything new about that that's sort of noteworthy? Of course, the AR. Noteworthy. I know we're going to go there.
We are going to go AR emoji, and that's basically one of the fun things. So one of the big things is obviously AR emoji. You can basically capture your face. It will create a whole heap of AR stickers that you can use in all your chat apps and things like that. But the key thing is the AR emoji. So you can actually export different characters, which are then set up as you. So you can be a bunny and all sorts of things. And they've also tied into a couple of things with Disney. So they're actually doing some Disney AR emoji and stuff like that. So we're going to be getting into that a little bit later on when I've had a bit more chance to play with the AR emoji. But it's a fun feature. It's more of a whole body thing than what we thought we were going to get with where it was going to be sort of an Animoji ripoff. So it's something that Samsung's looked at and gone, well, the whole body sort of thing, you can sort of shrug and give sort of gestures and things like that. And it sort of adds that extra element when you're sort of trying to communicate in these days. Because, I mean, we've gone from typing and texting with the short codes to now using emoji, and now we're into AR emoji, which is the big thing. And it's sort of fun. The limited time I had playing around with my AR emoji at the event was actually a lot of fun, and I think a lot of people are going to really dig what they've sort of done here.
Yeah, it looks like a fun, kind of enjoyable thing. You know, I hadn't really notice the whole body scanning. Is it actually scanning what you're doing with your body, or is it just moving?
It's not your whole, no, it's sort of just animating a bit of the body. So that's sort of what it's basically your face, and then it's sort of, but yeah,
they're so weird looking though. Like I get a weird feeling looking at them. They're like one step beyond cartoon, closer to real, but still not quite. It's like that what is that? Polar Express. Did you ever see that movie where all of the virtual people, like this, is that uncanny valley sort of thing? And I get that from these things in a strange way.
Yeah, it's a little bit unsettling the first time you use it, actually.
That's the right way to put it. Okay, so this, I mean, it sounds like an interesting phone. I'm going to be getting the S9. I think I'm waiting for pre-orders, which start in a couple of days. You can pre-order on March 2nd, releases on March 16th, unlocked for $719.99 here in the U.S. or $839.99 if you go for
the
Plus.
That's a lot of money.
Could be more, though. I mean, that's not a grand, which is what you're looking at with some of these top of the line phones. Well, the Note, I guess the next Note will probably be up in that territory. So, yeah.
Well, that's the way we're tiering them now, right?
Yeah.
That's the way the phone companies are tier, or rather the manufacturers are tiering them. We've got your regular tier, which is between 6 and 8. And then we've got your top tier, your iPhone 10s, your Pixel 2 XLs, your Note 8s for over $900.
Yep.
So this would be the first tier. This would be the common ground. Everyone can get to this. We'll sell it unlocked. We'll sell it at every carrier. I'm just having a really hard time mustering up excitement over this phone because it just feels like more just iteration and nothing innovative. I just don't see AR emoji being... being an innovation that's worth the price bump.
It's one of those things that you got to sort of make that decision. And quite frankly, if I was on a Galaxy S7, I'd even have problems justifying the purchase price, like, because the camera on something like the S7 was just fantastic. So in that sort of respect, there's no real reason to go for it. Samsung's been supporting the S7 for a while. Maybe we'll get another feature update out of it. But, I mean... it's a nice phone, and if you are in need for it, and there are certainly people out there that are still rocking in a Galaxy S4 and a Galaxy S5, to those people I say the S9 is definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They'll totally,
we're at that point in sort of phones, aren't we, where it's getting hard to justify a yearly update cycle. I mean, it's even now getting hard to update to justify a bi-yearly update. So if you have to update every 2 years, it's getting to that point now where the phones are just, if you've bought something that's really nice and high-end, it's hard to justify that cost. And I mean, the phones are just that good. So
yeah, it used to be that the camera was the reason, right? Like, yeah, love everything about this phone, but it still takes horrible pictures, and that would be a reason for upgrading year after year, is that slight bump. And now that's great. That's great on many, you know, most phones, it seems like, these days take pretty darn great pictures compared to what they
used to. But so then what is...
It's basically one of those things that Android cameras have finally actually reached that maturity point where they're actually getting good, and it's starting to come down the range. So what used to be like a really high-end feature in cameras is now actually getting to the point where it's starting to enter the mid-range.
Flo.
I want to hear what Daniel thinks is sort of like the big standout feature of the S9. Like what is it going to hit? What is Samsung going to hinge on here?
It's definitely the camera. I mean, it's definitely going to sell it for a lot of people, but the whole experience, like, is actually pretty good. One of the things that we haven't talked about yet, which is a bit of a point that a lot of people have been stinging Samsung on, is Bixby. They've actually added quite a few features into Bixby, which were quite interesting when they talked about them in the event. So it's going to be doing things like incorporating the camera to do a lot of the AI stuff. So what we see with Google Translate, where it does the word lens, where it instantly translates on the fly, the Bixby is actually going to be able to do that. It's going to be able to recognize food and add the calorie content into your Samsung Health app. It's going to be able to recognize products and do stuff like that, which we saw on the Amazon Fire phone, which didn't quite work. I mean, obviously we're going to have to do a bit of testing, but if those features sort of start getting to be useful in Bixby, then I think a lot of people might actually start using Bixby.
Well, I kind of want to talk about Bixby too, because the landscape has really changed this year, 2018. It's sort of a different look than it was MWC's past. We didn't have such a big smart speaker category. We didn't have Amazon with its own device categories now with such like a robust assist. Even this year, it's more robust than it was last year. It just seems like what is going to be a really big deal for Samsung going forward is not just iterating on a phone, but having this whole ecosystem that can match up to its competitors. Mm-hmm. And its competitors are Google and Amazon, not so much all the other Android and the Android handset manufacturers, actually. So it's just like, it just feels like this is just a small little part of a bigger picture that's going to unfold more throughout this year. Like, this is a phone, but there's going to be more to this experience for the user than just the phone. And I definitely feel like Bixby is going to be the driver of that.
I thought you were going to say that it's all about the Dex Pad, the next Dex docking station.
I mean, some people like it.
Yeah. I mean, and then this is another part of the announcement. Instead of it being this big thing that you dock the phone, you know, upwards, I guess it lays flat so it can be like a touch display for everything on the monitor. If Dex is your thing, it supports external displays up to 2K resolution. But yeah, I think you're right. There's a lot of that happening, and particularly from, you know, Samsung's probably the shining example of that. And there are many others that are on that train as well. We got a lot more to talk about, so let's move on from the S9 to what's next, which would be Nokia, Flo.
Yeah, surprisingly, look who's making a comeback, I guess. I mean, we kind of knew this was happening anyway with HMD Global behind the helm. So they revealed 5 new Nokia devices at MWC. Yes, 5. That's a whole hand. It's a big announcement is also that all the phones going forward are going to be Android One, laced with Android One, which kind of shows there's a particular market for these phones that they're going after. So what we've got here, we've got the Nokia 8, the Nokia 7 Plus, and the Nokia 6, which all ship with Oreo, which is not what we can say so much about other phones on the market right now. we've also got what everybody has been uttering across social media, those who are in Barcelona right now, the Nokia 8 Sirocco, which is just... honestly, such a sexy name. Like, Sirocco. It's just, the way it rolls off the tongue. So this one has a curved display, probably lending to that whole beautiful name that it's got going for it.
Yeah.
A glass front and back. It's a 7.5 millimeters thin. That's 1 millimeter thinner than the Galaxy S9 BTW. But the thing that's really, I'm saying, grinding people's gears is it's Snapdragon 835. Which I get. Get it. It's a year old. 5.5-inch P OLED display. Yes, that means P means plastic-ish. Dual Zeiss lens on the back, along with a fingerprint sensor, as should be standard in this day and age. The front-facing camera is also a Zeiss lens, which is a nice little marketing add-on there for Nokia. 6 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage, 3260 milliamp battery pack. So that's 3,268 milliamps, which is pretty good for a phone. I mean, if it's running on last year's processor, I imagine this would be pretty energy efficient. As far as phones go, micro SD expansion slot. Oh, yes. Wait, I accidentally jumped forward. Sorry. There is no expansion slot in this one that we are talking about right now. But there is Qi charging, IP67, water and dust resistance. It'll cost 750 euros in April. Also, the Nokia 7 Plus, that's another one that's sort of making the rounds. Mm. Not as sexy sounding as Sirocco, but pretty good specs. Aluminum unibody, 6-inch HD Plus display, 16 megapixel front facing camera, dual 12 and 13 megapixel rear facing cameras with 2x optical zoom. Snapdragon 660, putting it there in the mid range level. 4 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gigabytes of storage. This one has the expansion slot that I was mentioning earlier. 3800 milliamp battery, USB-C charging, which is nice. Brings us all to the current standard. Headphone jack, of course, it is there, and also available in April for 400 euros. So nice looking phones from Nokia. Really, really feel like this is where Nokia belongs. I really like seeing it in this Android One space. I'm really excited to see how it performs against the Motorola side of things in the world. I mean, we've got a lot of excitement about the Nokias because there's still a lot of fans out there.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about that last week, how Nokia sold so many smartphones in Q4, 4.4 million, surpassing many others, including Google. Nokia's, don't call it a comeback. They've been here for years. What'd you think, Daniel? Did you get a chance to get any hands-on time with the Nokia devices at the show?
Yeah, plenty. We actually had a bit of a meeting with the HMD at the booth to have a look at the Nokia stuff, and they're quite frankly stunning. The Sirocco is an absolutely beautiful handset. It feels really nice in the hand. It's easy to hold. The 7 Plus, I think, is probably going to be a little bit more popular with fans. It's priced a little bit lower, and it's still got that good mix of specs to sort of blend in. And quite frankly, if you look at the color options they've done, the color options with those, like the copper or the iron highlights, just look absolutely beautiful. I tell you what, Flo, they look even better in person. So when you get them in your hand, I thought they were hot when I was looking at renders and things like that. And when you actually get them in the hand, it's like, oh, okay, you've added another layer. So
quick HMD, side note, I just want to say, with these first two, this first batch of phones that we're just talking about at MWC, everyone's bringing it out with the design, and I really appreciate that because I am sick of the boring black phone, and I just love color, and I love edges, and I love gold, and I just love it all.
Yeah, there's a lot of really interesting design notes that we're seeing in even the low and medium tiers, and I feel like that's been the trend that's been increasing for the last couple of years, but it really, I don't know, you know, it helps lift those categories up and make you feel like when you're buying
it
into them, you're not sacrificing.
It makes me feel good as a consumer.
Yeah, totally does.
I feel good about it. Even if I've got a phone that's only $400, you know what? If it looks good, who cares?
Yeah.
It's like buying an H&M shirt versus Versace or something. I don't know.
So, okay. And how are Nokia phones doing in Australia? Because I know that, you know, Nokia's has particularly hot markets. I'm not sure how hot it is here in the US, but what about Australia?
Australia, Nokia was actually like one, the premium brand in Australia for many years. They were one of the first analog phones in Australia. When they went digital, they bought in a lot of their handsets. They sort of declined as the rise of the smartphone came in. But there's a lot of brand recognition in Australia for Nokia. I mean, people love that color. They love the changeable faceplates that things like the 5110 and other phones had. And it was just that fun brand. But they were a really good brand. And the quality of the phones hasn't diminished at all. So HMD's done a really good job about keeping that sort of quality. And when they're bringing things like the going into the new handsets and they've got the new Express on covers and stuff like that, that's really adding to the heritage of what they've done in the past. So when you talk about the new like Nokia One with its Express on covers, that's sort of bringing that fun color. It's bringing the sort of that funness back to the brand. And in Australia, that's what it was all about. Because when I was younger, that was what the phone to have was. You had to have your Nokia phone. So I think there's a lot of brand recognition, and they're bringing that back into the carriers. So they've started getting back into carriers as pre-tape devices. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw these on say, a postpaid contract at some stage with one of our bigger carriers. So I'm looking forward to what happens when they actually launch them and announce how they're going to go on sale. So we know they're all going into the open market, so you'll be able to buy these at a retailer. But I'd love to see these on contract and see them get a real good run.
No, let's quickly end this just to say, in addition to the Android One going forward, the phones will include always-on OK Google support, which is exciting and happiness. Android P upgrade, for sure, and a pro camera app, which we kind of saw, if you're watching the feed, we saw the little interface of that, which looks remarkably similar to its Windows Phone days.
It does, that yes.
Makes sense. Makes sense. You know, they like to hearken back to a simpler time.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
Kind of like how they're bringing back the Nokia 8110 slider banana phone.
Oh, I want that phone so bad.
That's not running Android, though, right? No.
No, but the 8110 was actually a really interesting one because it is actually running a couple of apps on there. So you can actually get Google Assistant on the 8110. You can also get Google Maps, Google Search, and you can also – it'll sync your contacts and your calendar. So, like, there's actually a really – I'm pretty keen to give it a go and see what that 8110 can do.
I mean, it's a banana phone. I hope that there is a ringer option, a ringtone option for ring banana phone. Your banana phone.
There is.
But the
option I really want to see is the Matrix mod. So if any modders are out there that can do the gas cartridge to shoot it open like it did on the Matrix, I'm interested. Please reach out. I'd love to get my hands on something like that.
Oh, remember when this was the future. Okay. Wow. We're going to go long today, folks. I can already tell. And all at the expense of Daniel's sleep. And I'm sorry about that. Let's try and jump through a few of these. Sony... is the perfect place to jump through. No, I'm just kidding, Sony fans. Sony showed off a few new devices, the Xperia XZ2 Compact, and also the did I get that backwards? ZX2, XZ2, whatever.
It's
Sony.
The XZ2 and the XZ2 Compact.
Okay, all right. So I wrote it down both ways. I was confused. Snapdragon 845, full HD display with HDR in the display capability. Fingerprint on the back, of course. IP65 and 68 rated. Oreo launches with Oreo. It's got kind of a redesigned look to it, a little bit more rounded, a little bit more curvy. There is no Courage port, no 3.5 millimeter headphone jack, as Mateo would call it, the Courage port. The camera can record 4K HDR, which is apparently a first on a smartphone. Mm-hmm. Also 960 frames per second slow-mo. So we're seeing more of these cameras doing this like ultra slow motion as one of their, you know, reasons for moving new product. The XZ2 or the XZ2 is 5.7 inch display. The XZ2 Compact is 5 inch, both available globally in March. Sony fans, there you go. Are you a Sony fan, Daniel?
I am. I'm a massive Sony fan, but more of their entertainment goods rather than their phones. I mean, Sony's always had that thing outside of the US where there's a lot of brand recognition for Sony, and they're available everywhere. Sony keeps selling them, and they keep doing interesting new things. Like they bought in the super slow motion camera last year. They've improved it again this year, and they've also then bought in the 4K HDR recording on the video.
Yeah.
The massive news for Sony, though, is that big redesign. They've finally gone away from the more boxy, square, rectangular brick that we've all known and loved, and they've actually put in the 18:9 displays. So they're actually looking a little bit different. But the major difference in the design is actually now on the back, where they've actually gone a lot more curved, and it's a lot easier to hold them. Previously, they've been a bit hard to hold because they're so square, but they actually sit quite nicely in the hand. But they've also got a bit of booty there, so it's the Kim Kardashian now of mobile phones. So
the old school kind of Sony design, this really squared, edgy thing. I mean, just hearing you kind of talk about the differences between this curvier design and that makes me realize, like, that's one of the things I never really cared about the Sony devices. Like, I realized it was totally their aesthetic, and they doubled down on that pretty hardcore for years. But it just kind of was uncomfortable, like in your hand, holding it up to your ear. You feel all those edges in a, you know, in a cumulative sort of way. So I'm all for Sony kind of curvying it up a little bit. I think it looks good. I think it looks nice.
Nobody wants a brick.
Yeah. There may have been a day, there may have been a time when a brick was desirable, but now we want curves on our
phone. We've moved beyond that.
All right. Daniel, you have, you wrote about ZTE's news with the Blade V9. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so ZTE actually launched a new phone, the Blade V9. It's not there. We saw a lot of action last year on the Axon brand, but they've actually got this sort of a mid-range tier, which is the Blade series, and the Blade V9 came out. They've jumped onto the Snapdragon 450 processor. It's got 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, but they've also got a model with 4 gig of RAM and 64 gig of storage. It's basically a full HD plus display. It's got a dual camera on the back of it, and it's actually looking pretty good. Going into actually holding it in the hand, it's pretty good looking phone. ZTE has in the past done a very sort of heavily skinned version of Android, but what they've done for the Australian market is they've actually bought it with a pretty stock interface. So we've been actually pretty big fans of what they've done with the handsets in Australia. So we're pretty much looking forward to the ZTE. It's a good looking handset.
Nice. I got some folks in the chat room who are saying, if you don't care about updates, this is the device for you. ZTE, you have a bad record with updates?
They did pretty well with the Axon. The Axon 7 actually is getting Oreo, and it started out on, was it Marshmallow? So it's actually had a couple of fairly major updates. But the Blade series, yes, has a little bit of a rough edge there on the update process. So I think things like with coming out with our Oreo and actually having the Project Treble support built in may, perhaps, we hope, give them a little bit of a push in the right direction. So we'll just have to wait and see on that. I mean, obviously, once Android P comes out, we're going to get a lot more information about whether we're going to see updates for these phones. I mean, we are talking about sort of the super mid-range in these, and it's one of those things we're just really going to have to wait on. But
yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Excellent. And again, you know, not a bad design for the category that it's in. It's got a kind of reminds me of the Honor 8, the back of it anyways, the kind of glisteny, kind of swooshy, I don't know what you call that. The technical term is swooshy color design, you know, depending on how the light reflects off of it. The Honor 8 had that. I really liked that.
Speaking of light reflection, these shiny phones are not very good for airplanes, as I discovered this weekend, because when it's dark on the airplane and the light is shining from overhead because you're trying to get work done so the people around you can sleep, basically creates
a mirror
glares on the ceiling for everyone to enjoy.
I don't know. It's like you're bringing the nightclub with you. You know,
it's just very rude. It's rude.
People got to understand, you got style, and you're not gonna stop your phone from projecting that style everywhere. All right, Flo, you got the last one before the first break.
Well, we can't say it's the least one because it's LG. I mean, we're talking about LG now. The V30S on the ThinQ platform, and yes, it's pronounced ThinQ. I have asked about this.
Not
and
think.
I was told it is pronounced ThinQ. Similar variant to the LGV30 that we've all sort of come to love in the past couple of months, but with improved specs. So part of LG's new strategy is to bump up specs in existing flagships rather than just rolling through with a whole new marketing campaign for a whole new phone. And well, that definitely is a better way of going about things when you're trying to save some money. Also got the same Snapdragon 835 on the inside, 6-inch display, same cameras. The difference, the big difference in this one, is its inclusion of artificial intelligence.
There it is.
Which is where the ThinQ name comes from. So if you remember back to CES, kids, LG announced the ThinQ platform there, sort of announcing that this, you know, anytime you see this name attached to a product, it means a virtual assistant inside. So this phone, it's got artificial intelligence camera, which can recognize the object in front of the camera and adjust the settings to them. Kind of similar if we remember off of some of Huawei's phones, it'll like pop up a little symbol in the corner, kind of say, ooh, it's a cat or a dog. We're going to adjust the settings to this. So I'm assuming it's kind of along those lines. Q Lens also includes object recognition. That's like Google Lens. So we're going to see stuff like this pop up in virtual assistants everywhere. We're going to see Bixby do this. We're going to see Google do this. And now we're going to see LG's phones do this. In a few weeks, it'll be launching in South Korea. So if you're there, you'll get to use it before the rest of us, I suppose. I'm kind of curious to see what this ThinQ platform is about, where it's starting off, what it's supposed to mean.
You're ThinQ curious, aren't you?
I am ThinQ curious. Mm-hmm. Well, now, mind you, ThinQ doesn't just mean the phones. They also apply the name to some of their smart speakers. I believe, if I'm correct, they have a TV that has a ThinQ name in it as well. So this is a new right. new little branch for LG, which I'm very, very curious about. Mm. Very curious.
Yeah, and I mean, AI... AI's
hot new buzzword of 2018.
I mean, it's been a buzzword that's been building momentum for the last couple of years, and now it's like everybody's doing it.
This year it's going to manifest and just explode all over us.
Everyone's going to have something.
Yeah, we think that we own our phones. Because of AI, our phones are going to own us. Just you wait and see.
I mean, to be fair, all the things we put in our house.
Yeah, they own us too.
At this point, we just gave it a permission, like vampires.
Yeah, we're pawns in their silly game. So there you go. LG's V30S. Did you get a chance to see this, Daniel?
Yeah, I jumped past the booth. The voice assistant is actually a little. It's basically just locking off commands in Google Assistant. But the vision assistant is actually pretty good. They've set up some demos there in their booth, and having used the Mate 10 Pro from Huawei, it's one of those. It's pretty much the same sort of style of thing. But then it's a little bit probably, I'd say a little bit better in terms of recognition, but. They're both very good. So when it adjusts the camera and things like that, it's they're both very impressive at actually in recognizing that it's a dog or a cat or a person, and the light conditions that it needs and things like that. So I want to do a bit more testing out in the real world away from their sort of really constrained environment. But once we
against
get that,
the
yeah.
Pixel.
Oh no. The Pixel reigns supreme. You can happily stay there.
I mean, that's where I'm at throughout this whole MWC. I'm hearing about all of this, you know, AI assisted cameras and AI assisted software, and I just keep thinking about the experience that I have with Google and how is it going to compare to that? How is it going to convince me to step away from that, from what I already know and what I feel comfortable in?
Maybe you haven't
and as you
heard
said last week, Flo.
What's that?
It's the ecosystem you're buying into now, isn't it? I mean, you're either in the Pixel camp, you're in the Samsung camp, you're in an Amazon camp, or you're in an Apple camp. And at the moment, LG is trying to break into that mold with their system. So whether we see that or not, I mean, LG's sort of gone in half-hearted because they're half using Google Assistant to do some of it. So whether that's maybe a gateway into the LG system.
Yeah.
Or they're just... I'm seeing LG is more trying to stick with what Google's, or rather trying to not veer too far off away from that, whereas I see Samsung going, who needs that? We got Bixby. I don't know. Maybe it'll manifest differently this year. Who knows? But I mean, it's not even March yet.
Yeah. We got a lot of year left.
We got a lot of year left.
Ooh, boy, do we. Okay, let's take a break because we got a lot of episode left. You don't want to go anywhere. We've got more from Mobile World Congress. There's a lot more, actually. We're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do, I want to thank the sponsor of today's episode, and that is IT Pro TV. And IT Pro TV is perfect if you want to sharpen your skills, maybe empower your team in the IT world with IT Pro TV. IT Pro TV offers over 3,300 hours of binge-worthy on-demand training with more than 125 hours added weekly. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on-demand worldwide. You can use Chromecast, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, PC. Of course, use their iOS or Android apps. There's no need to go off-site for training. IT Pro TV does IT live every day for you on camera, so you know that you're getting the most current IT training. They're staying up to date and passing that information on to you. Courses include CEHV9, CISA, SQL Server 2016, Azure 7533, CCNA Security, CompTIA A+, and a whole lot more. You can track your team's results, improve the ROI of your training spend with IT Pro TV's supervisor portal. You can also gain full control over your team's training schedule, so you can keep everyone on point. You can create custom groups, training assignments, view logins, make sure everybody's logging in and watching, check viewing time, video downloads, and of course, the course completion tracking as well. Analytics galore, individual and group analytics offered there. You can check out their team solution for group pricing. And I mean, people are using IT Pro TV to improve their lives for all sorts of reasons, maybe even get their dream jobs. James Packer is one person who discovered IT Pro TV. He actually got his whole team hooked on the content, incentivized their learning through the service. And in the end, he was ultimately offered a job in the Cayman Islands. So living in paradise, working a new job, and James attributes his qualifications for that dream job to his time learning while watching IT Pro TV. If you want to move to the Cayman Islands, then you should watch. If you're interested in learning more about IT Pro TV's team solution, contact them for a team free trial, including their supervisor portal at itpro.tv/allaboutandroid, where you can sign up for an individual monthly membership and a free 7-day trial. Free 7-day trial at itpro.tv/allaboutandroid. Use code AAA30. You'll receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. Join the more than 90,000 IT Pro TV members today. Premium subscriptions, which include unlimited transcender practice exams and virtual labs, are normally $857 a year, but you only pay $600 when you go to itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, ROI proven. That's itpro.tv/allaboutandroid, code AAA30. And we thank IT Pro TV for their support. All right, the hardware continues. We don't need to roll the bumper. I think we're unless you have it queued up. And if you look like you have your fingers on a button. Okay. You look like you were ready. I didn't want to deprive you of the hardware bumper experience. It is fun. It is very satisfying.
That was a good cue.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe this is the phone you've been waiting for, Flo. Asus unveiled its next series of phones, the Zenfone 5 series, also starting with the Zenfone 5Z, 6.2-inch Full HD Plus LCD screen, Snapdragon 845, so top of the line, 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs storage, dual rear-facing 12-megapixel cameras at f1.8 aperture, 3,300 milliamp hour battery. It's launching with Oreo. And yes, it does include a notch on the front display. And I think they even pointed out in their stage thing that it's a smaller notch than the Apple company.
No. The Fruit Phone X.
The Fruit Phone, yes. Sorry. That's right. The Fruit Phone X. Weird way. Anyways.
There it is.
There it is. Small notch, 26% smaller than Fruit Phone X. Okay. Yes, AI, artificial intelligence enhancements, things like AI charging for better battery life. So it knows, you know, save your battery. AI ringtone. So it'll set your ringtone volume based on ambient noise. Okay. AI scene detection for when you're taking pictures. It knows the proper setup of your camera based on the scene and what it sees. AI photo learning. AI. Also real-time beautification. So beauty pictures using 365 facial points. Zenmoji. Even they have emoji.
At least I like the name. I like the Zenmoji.
Daniel, did you play around with any of the Asus devices?
Or Asus, I didn't get hands on time. There's Asus. No, I haven't had hands on with the Asus yet. That's high on my list for tomorrow to grab a few of those, a couple of these, and sort of have some time with them. But they sort of look nice. I mean, they've got that traditional sort of Asus design where everything sort of spirals out from the center on the back,
like a
sun. It's got that look about them. Yeah, I mean that's one of those things, but. I guess I think we're all going to have to start getting used to notches in our screens.
Well, and Oreo, no, it's Android P, I believe, is getting used to notches as well. So yeah, apparently
and
the notch is here
displays.
To stay. Yeah, exactly. but they had other phones, the Zenfone 5, which is kind of a step down, Snapdragon 636, 4 and 6 gigs of RAM, otherwise basically the same. 6-inch QHD display on that Snapdragon 630. On the 5Q, the Zenfone 5Q, otherwise basically the same. And then finally, the Max Plus M1, which is a 5.5-inch display, 4,000 milliamp hour battery, dual rear cameras, basically kind of their budget offering. So, whole series of phones. That was just announced, earlier today for us. Yesterday for you, Daniel.
I was gonna say yesterday.
Yes. So, yeah. So pretty recently, right before showtime. Okay. I think we can move on from that. Flo, what about Huawei?
Yeah, we can. Huawei announced some stuff. Huawei actually announced tablets, which I know is a thing that we're not really talking about much these days. So Huawei has three new tablets that are showing off at MWC right now, which is very exciting for a lot of you who've been asking, yo, where are the tablets? The MediaPad M5, similar in many ways to the M3. The reason there's no 4, for those of you who might be wondering, it's an unlucky number in China, so they skipped it. And on that same fun fact, that's why there's no 13th floor in San Francisco, if you're ever wondering.
Oh,
8.5-inch 2K display on the MediaPad M5. It's a larger 10.8 display, also available with 7,500 milliamp battery. The M5 10 Pro can convert the tablet into a laptop along with an M Pen, very similar to kind of what we've been seeing with what Huawei's been doing with its Windows 10 devices and kind of what Samsung did with its Tab S devices, which is turn them into effectively bona fide I don't know what to call the device category of the tablet that comes with a stylus.
I don't know.
Inside, just so you know, the processor is Kirin 960. RAM is 4 gigs and storage is at 3264 or 128. The 8.4-inch starts at 350 euros. The 10.8-inch starts at 400 euros. And the 10.8-inch Pro starts at 500 euros. Okay. So you've got a nice little spectrum of choices there if you're interested. And I can say, just my own experience, the Huawei tablets, they're pretty good.
Huawei's usually not forgetting the tablet fans out there. I feel like everybody's just kind of forgetting about the tablet fans. Maybe
I mean, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, somebody's got to put them out.
Somebody's going to.
All right. Maybe if Ron hadn't replaced his tablet, this would be one that he'd get. I'm not sure. One of these.
Well, Ron spent considerably less for his tablet than this.
True.
And loves his tablet. So seems what does that say?
He seems to be okay with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Maybe we'll get a chance to to pod a Huawei tablet sometime in the future, hopefully so. I don't know if they announced plans. I mean, they named their pricing in euros. I didn't see any dollar amounts. So I don't know if they have plans to release.
Usually when that happens, it means, nothing's been solidified. And so why bother putting it in USD if you're never going to really see it in that number?
Yeah. Daniel, you have the Alcatel 1 X3V and the 5. You have the whole family. The Alcatel family is staying with you. Tell us a little bit about what Alcatel announced. Hey, there they are.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, I got to poof.
They're awake at 3 o'clock in the morning too.
They've joined the party. It's basically Alcatel has bought the 18:9 screen to the whole range of new phones. So they've recognized this new trend in the industry of basically launching these new flagships with this 18:9 display, and they've basically started it from the bottom of the range. So their very bottom of the range phone is actually going to be hitting Australia for under $100, and basically they're hitting all the price points along the way into sort of the low to mid range. So you're sitting under $100 for the 1X. There's also a One model which comes with a fingerprint sensor. The One is this one, which out of fingerprint sensor. The 1X comes with a fingerprint sensor. We've got the 3V, just under $200 in Australian dollars. And then you've got the 5, which is basically a very full-screen display. So it actually has almost no bezel at the bottom or anything like that. So as you can see in the sort of pictures and stuff like that, there's basically a... We used to have chins on phones. We now have got a forehead on a phone. So it's basically all up the top. So it's probably not as interesting as the 3V, which is sort of the mid-range device, because they've actually gone for a full HD resolution. Just a HD resolution on the 5, whereas the Alcatel 3V actually comes with a 2160 display. So that's a little bit more high resolution on a 6-inch display, and they've packed it into that body. So the 18:9 lets it really pack it in there without much bezel. And it's a comfortable looking phone. Like it's easy to hold. It's got the fingerprint sensor on the back. It's got a lovely color scheme on it. It's got the liquid glass thing that looks like sort of HTC introduced with the U11 series last year. Seems like everyone's copying them, as they've all days done. It's all powered by MediaTek. The phones are actually made by Alcatel, which is basically owned by TCL. So they've got TCL to design and build the screens for them to put in all their phones. So it allows them to cut costs and it allows them to really drive down the price. The MediaTek platform is maturing. It's probably not as high end as the Qualcomm sort of Snapdragon or your Samsung Exynos processors, but it certainly does the job, and it certainly allows them to hit certain price points. And then they've also gone with dual cameras on a lot of these. So the 3V actually has a dual rear-facing camera, whereas the 5 has a dual front-facing camera. So they're sort of hitting those markets where if you're really into the selfies, you may want to go for the 5 because it's got that dual front-facing camera to give you a few more options. Whereas if you're more into the traditional smartphone photography, you can sort of go for the 3V. But yeah, they're good-looking devices. The Alcatel One, obviously, it's one of the first Android Go phones that's been announced. It's a new category for Google and all their partners to allow them to do things like get into the lower end at a really cheap price point. So it's going to be interesting using these over the next couple of days.
Yeah, Android Go is the basically, along with Oreo, if you're below, I think it's what, a gig of memory? Then
it's
Android
5 to 1 gig, yeah.
Okay, then Oreo will automatically will serve up the Android Go experience, which is kind of a trimmer version of Android that should perform better on those devices than a full, unencumbered version of Android would. Do you notice any kind of difference? I mean, is that something that's perceivable?
I've been using it for 24 hours, and I've been trying to find things that are different, and there's really not. I'm having trouble noticing anything. It's just like using an Android phone. I mean, you've still got the same launcher style thing. You got your widgets and wallpapers and stuff like that. Yeah. You've got the same settings set up. the cameras actually using like the Alcatel camera rather than like the Google camera. So there's certain differences there. But everything else is pretty much the same. I mean, the main difference is when you jump into the Google Play Store, you start getting surfaced all the Go apps, or
right.
In the case of third-party apps, you get like the Twitter Lite and the Facebook Lite and stuff like that. So they're sort of pushing those to continue that Go and Lite experience on the phone. So, it's a decent handset. Yeah, nice. I'm pretty impressed with it. And There's been quite a few Go handsets announced at the show, so yeah, it's going to be interesting year to see how this Android Go, Android One, and then we got full Android. So
getting more official support. A decent amount of people in the chat room keep reminding me to ask about updates on Alcatel, because it seems like folks in the chat room are saying Alcatel not the best company when it comes to updates.
They're not, but they have actually committed to doing quarterly updates for all their phones. You're going to be getting security updates every quarter. So that is something they really are committed to. When we've been talking to them behind the scenes, they really are committed that this is something what they want to do. They've recognized and that they haven't had that, so they're going to be doing it. So
that's good news.
In terms of updates, I think especially security updates. I mean, feature updates.
Right.
We've seen feature updates fail on phones, so you may get the latest features, but the phone just doesn't handle right. But if you can patch those security holes that are appearing every 3 months, that's a big step in the right direction for a lot of people.
Absolutely. Cool. And this was interesting. This is more of a concept, but a company that we've talked about very recently on the show, Vivo, they had the first fingerprint sensor behind the display phone earlier this year. They showed off a concept phone called the Apex, where
VIVO, just to spell it out.
What?
For that VIVO, just to spell it out for anyone wondering.
Oh, sorry, not the music video company that you see on YouTube, right? That's Vivo, I think.
Yes.
This Vivo has a half screen in display fingerprint scanning technology. So, in other words, there isn't one single point that you put your finger. There's a whole like block on the bottom like third of the display that you can put your fingerprint anywhere on there, and it will read it through the glass, which is kind of neat. I'd love to see how that works. You can unlock your fingerprint anywhere within that area, basically. You can also require two simultaneous fingerprints at once. You like using one fingerprint? How about two at the same time? Because apparently, you know, that would make it even more secure. And if you have all that extra space, that's something you can do now. So it has that option. Bezel-less concept phone. But that means, what do you do with the selfie camera and the stuff that's located up at top? Do you do a notch? Sure, some people are doing a notch. But Vivo decided to do a pop-out, a mechanically popping out selfie camera that literally pops out of the top of the phone. This little square shelf just extends, and there's your camera. It kind of like looks like a periscope. And then the earpiece was a piezoelectric, so it's bone conduction to hear things through. But like I said, concept at the moment, there's the periscope. What do you guys think? Is this the future? Is this the future that Ron has envisioned?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What wasn't there supposed to be this technology in the Galaxy S9? I was reading. It's possible I dreamed it, because my dreams are very vivid.
There were rumors. There were rumors that said the Galaxy S9 was going to have under display fingerprint sensing or whatever, but. I think that was shot down a couple of months ago, where they were like, actually, they've moved on. Apple moved on from that also.
We've moved on.
Had been rumored to
do
that.
From your wishes.
Vivo is like, no, we're going to prove that it's possible. And they are proving that it's possible. You know, on my Pixel here. On my Pixel display, there's always that little fingerprint down at the bottom. And every once in a while, without thinking, like, I tap it, thinking like that's what it would be. It would be kind of nice to just be able to go boop and be let in.
But would it? Because isn't the index finger so much easier on the back? It certainly is for me.
I mean, yeah.
Why not have both?
Yeah, why not have both?
Why not both?
Exactly. Why one when you can have both? And then finally, Daniel, you wrote about the Energizer, not the bunny, but the phone.
I was going to say, where's the bunny?
This was the answer to, I think it was Ron a couple of months ago, who was looking for a phone that was just pretty much all battery. And Energizer has come to the party. It's basically a power brick with a screen on it. It's 16,000 milliamp hours. So if you can't get through a day of use on that.
That's so on brand, by the way.
That's great. So how big is this thing? 16,000 milliamp hours.
It is not only thick, it is also heavy. So you pick it up, you are very much aware you are holding a phone.
It's batteries, right? It's just shoved with alkaline batteries.
It's all just AAA batteries in there.
Yeah, it's thick enough to fit AAA batteries.
Yeah. It's definitely big enough. It also doubles as a weapon if you're ever in the late night and you're heading home and need something to sort of help you out there.
Bad. But
it is a solid phone. It's got that real sort of industrial sort of real chunky design, but it's easy to hold. You will sort of wouldn't want to be holding it up to your ear to make a phone call for hours on end, but it's one of those phones that was just sort of interesting, but it's got a 18:9 display. It's got a 6 gig of RAM, 128 gig of onboard storage, and you also throw a 256 gig micro SD card in there. It's got four cameras, so you get two on the front, two on the back. It's basically got it all. So it's one of those phones that if you're really just the battery is what you're after, then it's something to think about. Yeah. So €499. They are looking at global expansion. So if you want one, it's coming soon.
Dang. How many days do you think you get out of a 16,000 milliamp hour battery in normal use? Like 4 days? Like,
yes. You'd have to.
Yes.
God.
That's crazy.
What would you do to get through that in a day?
Yeah, right.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I totally forgot what the milliampage is in the Pixel 2, but, and I know that's like that's not comparing apples and oranges, but I just think about all the phones that have 3,000 milliamps in them and how they're all just done by the end of the day.
The 2XL is 3520. Is that right?
Well, we're just done by the end of the day, so I'm thinking 4 days. And maybe on standby, like 2 weeks, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Like, yes. Much more.
The phone that you take to the wilderness. I see this as one of those phones that they hand out to all the, like, hardcore, like, you're going out in the wilderness, got to equip you with something that'll last. You're not going to have any electricity. You're going to need to put mud on your face.
Yeah. It's for all the mud on your face people. Yeah.
And you
know what? It's great marketing. Really, we should go back to marketing things like that.
We should. No one ever hires us to market their products. It's really kind of a bummer. It's like we're available to market your products.
It's their loss.
Yeah, totally. All right. That's awesome. I'm sure we missed some stuff from Mobile World Congress, but I think, did we miss anything that you happened to see on the show floor before we move on, Daniel, that we didn't have in here?
We probably have. It's been a bit of a blur, to be honest. Right. It gets to that point.
And it's also very late for you. Sure. So we'll move this along exactly. And we'll get you to bed. Again. But before we do that, let's thank the sponsor of today's episode. And that is the Ring Video Doorbell. I love my Ring. We have a Ring at home. We have the Ring Doorbell 2. And it's awesome. Nice HD quality. Get notification when somebody's at the door. I could talk to them. Love it. Ring's mission is to make neighborhoods safer too. And the Ring Video Doorbell lets you see and speak to intruders on your smartphone from anywhere. Even share video clips with neighbors using the Ring app. And actually, if you guys go to twitter.com/ring, you'll find a number of videos. I got lost on this yesterday where I started watching these videos of people that have sent it in, shared it in Ring's neighborhood section of people like finding packages on people's doorsteps, starting to break into them. And then you hear the owner be like, hey, get away from that. And then they just run off. It's awesome. You can do that too if someone's trying to steal your package from your door. Ring's floodlight and spotlight cam lets you build a ring of security around your entire property. Just like Ring's video doorbell, Floodlight Cam is a motion-activated camera and floodlight that connects to your phone with high-visibility floodlights HD video and two-way audio. It lets you know the moment anyone steps on your property. You can see and speak to visitors. You can even set off a super loud alarm. Some of those videos, you actually hear the alarm. It's loud, and I mean, the people jump and they start running right from your phone. You can set off an alarm from your phone. How cool is that? When things go bump in the night, you'll immediately know what it is. Ring floodlight cams offer the ultimate in-home security. Thieves just can't hide with Ring. They're already being recorded. Monitor every corner of your property with a Ring of Security kit, which includes a Ring video doorbell and your choice of either 1, 2, or 3 floodlight cams. And connect your Ring video doorbell with your favorite smart locks and hubs for added convenience, monitoring, and security. So stop crime before it happens and help make your neighborhood safer with Ring. Save up to $150 on a Ring of Security kit at ring.com/allaboutandroid. That's ring.com/allaboutandroid. $150 off when you go to ring.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Ring for their support of this show. All right, we've got a couple of pieces of app news before the arena. Let's do it. I don't know if this is an app. Well, I guess there is an AR Core app, but Google is opening.
Yeah, it got updated. I got the whole notification and everything.
Oh, okay. The AR Core app is now able to run on a larger number of new devices. It exited preview status, so now it's 13 phones in total, all the Pixels, Samsung's Note 8, S8s, S7s, LG's V30s, the OnePlus 5, Zenfone AR for the five of you that have that phone. I'm one of them. more devices support this later this year. Oh, that's so sad. Zenfone AR, you got it because of Tango, and now like the Tango is being replaced by the software equivalent. Anyways, this means things potentially in the future like AR stickers and that sort of thing, which is a big hit on Pixel phones. Yeah, Megan had my Pixel XL for 6 weeks. We have traded, by the way. I'm back home with my Pixel 2 XL. But anyways, that seemed to be a feature that she used all the time was the AR stickers. So, you know, it's fun. And then I guess Lens is getting an update to recognize common animals and plants. So breeds and types of plants. That's so cool. We just did our backyard recently and there have been many times where I'm like, what is that plant? I need to figure it out. And like, how do I figure that out? Apparently Lens will be able to do that. Point it at the plant, take a picture, and it'll tell you what it is. Cool stuff. I don't know. Is AR last year's news, or are we still firmly in the AR world?
Well, clearly it's not, because Samsung just built it into its camera UI.
That's a good point. They're all doing that. Zenmoji as well, so...
And I will say, I have seen a lot more Instagram stories just from my personal network of people playing around with like the AR abilities on their iPhones. You know, baby, you put a baby on an Animoji or whatever it's called, and it's adorable. So,
I didn't think of that.
Awesome. Come on, what are you gonna do?
It's, yeah. Yeah, you're going to do that. That's what you're going to do. That's a great idea.
Yeah, it's cuteness. And people love cuteness, especially, you know, when everything else on the internet is just sad and doldrum.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, so that's AR Core. And then Flow. This is a new app that totally flew
my
radar.
I didn't even bother with it, which I probably should have, and I'm sorry. So Google has been beta testing an app called Reply, which brings its smart replies into the notification shade for third-party apps. So that awesome ability that you get to do when you get a Hangout message or an Allo message or a SMS message, which I guess is redundant, you can now reply to those things in the notification shade so you don't have to leave whatever you're doing currently on screen. It kind of works like chat bubbles. So the bubbles appear as potential responses in messaging notifications. Sorry, not chat bubbles. They look like the bubbles in Allo is what I meant to say. Or they look like the bubbles when assistant is trying to figure out what you'd like to say next. That sort of thing. APK Mirror has the app if you want to try it out for yourself. But I've seen some tweets surface about the functionality and read that it's been a little finicky for some.
Yeah, so I installed it. So it's a beta. You have to get it through like APK Mirror or whatever. So yeah, I install it from there. And then there's even a feature in here, try it out, and it'll send a notification to you, like a messaging style notification. So, you know, we're used to seeing the reply button so that we could tap in there and type a reply, but it just brings that auto reply right into the notification. So the bot says, want to grab dinner? And I've never had dinner with a bot before. So sure. There we go. And that would send.
First time for everything.
Yeah. Might as well. I don't want them to hate me. And there you go. So it's kind of a cool feature that they're beta testing right now, and you can install it and check it out. I don't know, Daniel, have you had any time with Reply or any smart replies?
Yeah,
are you a fan?
Yeah, I love smart replies. When they brought it into like Inbox to start with, I started using those. And they rolled it into Allo, which I haven't really used much. I can't convince anyone
it's
to use
loss.
It with me. Yeah, I love using it, but no one will use it with me. So
you can send me Allo messages if you like.
I'll send Allo messages. Great. But yeah, I mean, Reply, and it's not currently supporting some of the apps I use for messaging, like Telegram and stuff like that. But as soon as they start using it, I think I'm going to get a lot more use out of it. So, but just using it with a couple of friends in Hangouts and stuff like that, it's been quite good just to quickly reply, and it's actually been giving some smart replies. So I'm pretty impressed with how that's been going. Yeah, I like what it's doing.
Right on.
Before I move on, I do want to say, if you guys caught the glimpse of that little smart reply where it said, what time will you be home? And the smart reply had a walking emoji followed by a time, which is making me think that the smart reply was calculating your location, figuring out where you are, mapping that, and then...
Yeah.
There we go.
It's actually one of the, you can enable location, so it allows for that.
I love it.
And then it can also, you can also give it access to calendar. It can know, it's aware of if you're, you know, because Android has that awareness of the walking pattern, the bicycle pattern, the driving pattern. And so you can toggle which of those it will automatically reply. So I hadn't even realized that I did that when I went through the setup, and a friend texted me, and sure enough, Reply did an Autobot reply to him saying, Jason's driving right now. We'll get back to you when he parks. So yeah, kind of handy, nifty feature. Not bad. All right. And we've reached the moment of the show where we jump into the arena and we battle.
So many enter.
But in a good way.
But only one lives. Android Arena.
In a very...
Yeah,
well, it's true. In a very non-violent sort of way. It's all fun and games here.
No, it's never violent.
Never, not yet. 358 episodes. It's never once been violent. So thankfully we have that going for us. Last episode was twit.to/AAApoll357. We had Snowboard Party World Tour, Caster, Trippy Goat, and Vlog It. And, of course, Mateo won with Trippy Goat. This is why he keeps coming back with goat things, because it keeps working.
He has a theme and he sticks to it.
Yes, exactly. Caster, second place at 31%. Vlog, and that was Ron's app. Vlog It.
No, that was mine.
Oh, I'm sorry, I got it twisted. So congratulations, you were second place. Ron is Vlog It, third place, 19%. I keep losing. With Snowboard Party, I lost again at 14%. Do you want to do Wade County, Flo?
Yeah, Wade County in the chat, helpfully, as always, weekly helps us know where we are with the tally. So right now we are in week 8, everyone. That's, for those of you keeping tally, that's the 8th week of the new year. So we're already moving by, full steam ahead. Guests are at 27, Ron is at 19, I am at 16, and Jason, you are in at a nice and shiny 14. Oh. So you've got to keep this going for the guests, Daniel. Did you bring something good to the arena today?
I hope so. The pressure's on.
The pressure is on.
Go ahead and take a break. Maybe eat an Oreo cookie because I lost. I have to go first. You'll go after me, Daniel. So I'm going to show the app that's going to take the guests and flow down this week.
Oh, jeez.
So I'm on Project Fi now. I've switched officially when I got my Pixel 2 XL back from Megan last Thursday, and I went to set it up. It automatically like jumped into Fi because I guess I had gotten to the point in the setup on the computer, and the Pixel has an eSIM in it already. So it saw me setting up the device and it was like, oh, okay, registering Fi, here you are. And it set it up and I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm Fi now. So I'm on Project Fi and so far so good. I'm actually really liking it a lot. Today's app has helped me get a little bit more insight into what's happening on Project Fi. And I have to thank Burke here at Twit for pointing this out to me. It's an app I had heard of before, but I didn't actually test at all because I was never on Project Fi. So he reminded me of it, and it's actually really great. It's called Signal Spy. There's a free version. There is also a pro version. I think I paid $2 for the pro version, and that unlocks it so it removes some ads and gives you some expanded capabilities and everything. But basically what this is, they say that it's an app not specific to Project Fi, but I would venture to say that most of the toolkit is really ideal for Fi users. It allows you, so I'm going to go ahead and launch the app. So what it shows me right now is it shows me the carrier that I'm connected to. Currently, I'm connected to Sprint. That's been very interesting to me because, you know, Fi automatically switches between T-Mobile and Sprint and I think U.S. Cellular, depending on which one you have the best connectivity with. And I've noticed myself through this app connected to Sprint more than T-Mobile, and I'm not sure that I expected that. Anyways, it shows me as currently connected to Sprint. It also shows me as currently connected to Wi-Fi, and this is another thing that Project Fi does to help save your data consumption. It has you know, connected simultaneously. It'll pass through Wi-Fi if it's available, and then it will hop over to your carrier if it needs to. So you get a little bit of that information. You can find more details about that, I believe. Yeah, and you know, if you're having any issues, you can update it, or you can get really nerdy with some of the stuff that I'm probably not going to touch because I wouldn't know what I'm doing with some of these things. But what's really useful for Project Fi users is this launch dialer codes section. You go in there and you have all of these different dialer codes that will actually force your phone, or at least attempt to force your phone, to change into a different operational mode. So Project Fi is automatically, this auto mode, by default, switching between carriers as need be, right? If I really want to be connected to T-Mobile, and because I'm a pro user, it automatically takes me to the dialer when I switch to T-Mobile. It dials the code within Project Fi or within my phone to switch away from the Sprint connection and go over to T-Mobile. And it says switched. And now, as you can see, I'm connected to T-Mobile. So it gives you a little bit more capabilities of controlling your Project Fi experience. For whatever reason, maybe you're somewhere and you're noticing that your connectivity is just really bad and you aren't willing to accept that that's just the way it is. You could go in here and you could, you know, go into a dialer code and force it to check something out. Or, you know, this repair is another way. If you're realizing that your connectivity is spotty or there's something going on, that's another option for you. You hit repair and it'll force it. So just kind of a really cool way to kind of take a little bit more control over Project Fi. I would recommend, though, if you switch on one of these things, I think they persist for a couple of hours and then it would switch back. But you might want to go back to auto so that you're, you know, back into Project Fi's kind of smart switching mode. Because it's a good place to be. And then you've got network history. So it'll show you all the different times throughout your history here. And I'm not sure how far back this goes. 226. What is today? The 27th. So this goes back to yesterday. I've been running it for a couple of days, so that makes sense. But it'll show me kind of the different states of my phone. What have I been connected to? You know, was it Sprint? Was it T-Mobile? U.S. Cellular? And I don't know. It's kind of an interesting insight into your phone's usage of Project Fi and the service. And like I said, they say that that you can use this for other, you know, for other reasons outside of Fi, but I really feel like it's a tool set that's really designed for Project Fi users. So it's called Signal Spy. And yeah, if you're on Fi in particular, check it out. It's a really cool kind of bonus thing to have installed on your phone. Might get you out of trouble. All right. That is that. Daniel, you are up next, and I have it installed. I have not played it yet, though, so this should be interesting. I'll go ahead and play it while you talk about it.
Well, Matteo has his theme of goats. I'm going with the theme of Australian developers. So this is from Half Brick Studios. It's a game called Star Skater. So if you're familiar with Half Brick, you probably know Fruit Ninja, but this one is one of their ones they've released a little while ago. You basically play a little dude on a skateboard and you use the side controls either side of the screen, say touch controls to either go left or right. Basically avoiding obstacles as you go. So as you go in the first level, as Jason's doing now, you sort of go left and right around a couple of cement barriers. You can crash into it if you really want to hurt yourself. And basically you just keep going and it gets harder and harder. So eventually you'll get to a point where you're dodging cars, you're going up and down over hills, you can do jumps and you can earn extra points and cash for doing those jumps and tricks and doing 360 spins. So as you progress through the game, you can sort of earn things like burritos and cash to sort of, once you wipe out, you can have a burrito if you've got one spare and you can sort of then start your level exactly where you were again. So it's sort of like another life. And it sort of adds in different things like turns, and as you go around these big sweeping hairpin turns, it can sort of get a little bit gnarly. But it's a lot of fun in that sort of respect.
Well, we had to show at least one wreck.
Yeah, so few in-app purchases if you really want to do it, but that's more if you want to upgrade your board or your wheels, or you can buy new characters and things like that. You've also got the option in the characters to play droid, so you can play as the droid. So if you want to go in there and choose a different character, you can slide along and choose the bug droid, which is sort of a nice little touch. But it's a cool game. Started playing it, and every time my son sees it, he tries to take the phone out of my hand because he loves it. So he actually spends more time wanting to crash into the cars rather than pass the levels, but he seems to really get into it. And It's I've wasted hours on this game, so you don't have to spend if you don't want to.
Uh-oh, we just lost Daniel. I have to say, as we work to get him connected again, it's really more of a skating simulation than anything.
Whoops.
It's really a skating simulation. Would you agree, Daniel?
Yeah, so that's basically it. Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's cool. Sorry, we lost you there for a second, but we're all good.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's one of those fun games you just keep playing again and again, and I just love it. So nice. I highly recommend it.
Nice. Yeah. I love it. I'm going to keep this installed and play it in those moments of boredom and stuff. Star Skater.
It is one you can jump in and out of quickly. So
yeah, totally. Keep it around. Yeah, it's got a nice sometimes the game controls on games like this, I'm going to turn it down, it's a little loud. Just feel fluid and feel right. You know, the controls are definitely dialed in really well. And I mean, Half Brick is a great, they made some great games over the years with Fruit Ninja and Jetpack Joyride. I'm going to install this for my kids because I know that my older daughter would love this. Star Skater. All right, Flo, this was an app that I think both you and I wondered if it was on the list because it seems like one of those that I'm kind of surprised nobody has done it yet, but here we go.
Probably because what I've brought to the arena today is not the app, but the experience that the app offers.
Right, right.
So Jason, if you want to take a second to try and log in while I get us started. If you can't get log in, then I might have to send you my password and login over an unsecure connection.
Oh, don't do that. Well, I'll see what I can do here.
All right.
Go ahead and talk about it.
Stop. So I brought MoviePass to the arena today. The reason I brought it to the arena is because the app actually received a really hefty update mere 3 days ago. And I'm really happy about that because the Android app was leaving a lot to be desired for this particular service. So what MoviePass is Victor, if you don't mind, bring it back to the camera real quick. I do want to show you just very quickly this MasterCard that has been sent to me by the MoviePass folks. So you pay $9 a month for this MasterCard. And what it does is it gives you access to see a movie at any of the participating theaters once a day for the entire month. So you're basically paying for one movie and getting 30 movies for free or 29 for free or whatever, as long as you, I mean, if you want to see a movie every day. It only works for 2D movies. So you can't see any of the special screenings. And it only works at participating theaters, but I mean, I live in a suburb of the Bay Area, and there are a massive cluster of theaters near me that accept this. So it's been pretty fruitful thus far, and I've only had it for a couple of weeks. You can see a movie a day in the theaters. There's no blackout dates. You can go opening weekend. You can go to a special little theater as long as it's in the MoviePass family. And when you download the app, you need it to actually interface because you basically have to check into the theater before you get there. You have to be within 100 yards. You check into the theater to the movie you want to see. Then you present your card to the cashier. The cashier runs it, hands you your tickets. You're free to go. You're good to go and see your movie. My friends and I started a little movie club around the MoviePass. And it's kind of just like another little fun way that we've decided to spend time together is by going to go see movies around each other, having an excuse to get together. It's MoviePass, and the app has been updated so it looks better. It'll show you a readout of where all the theaters are nearby. It'll denote them by little red dots. I've got the app right here on my phone.
Yeah, you go ahead and show it. There were too many steps for me to just log in.
Sorry I didn't even consider that before tossing it over. But from this very blurry little screen that you see here, I mean, it's pretty straightforward. Just find the movie that you want to watch, top box office. We're going to go see Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri. I had to remember what the full name was. I'll scroll to the theater I want to go. I can go see it at a theater 11 miles away from me right now. Tap on the time that I want to see it. Let's pretend I'm going to go see it at 10 p.m. tonight. And then you check in at the bottom. And once you check in, you have half an hour to go up to the cashier and pay for the movie. Effectively,
even though, but pay for the movie, you've already paid for it, right? So you just have to like redeem.
Yeah, assuming you've already seen a movie that week. Yeah, and I just like the new app particularly because it's got this great little readout. So now I can't. And we're all going to see, but whatever. So now you've got all these red dots near you. It shows in a blue dot. I'm sorry, this is so fuzzy, but it shows in a blue dot where you live. The way that you would on a Maps app. And then the red dots are the theaters that are nearby. And you can just scroll by theater on the bottom to see how far away the theaters are. And then when you're ready, you just pop in your account details and boom, you're going to go see a movie. Yeah. That's so awesome. I'm mostly bringing the service to the arena this week.
Well, the app seems like it's designed well for what it does. It's just, this service blows me away. Like, how is it this inexpensive? It's crazy. I mean, I realize there's a data component to this. They're tracking, you know, your viewing habits, but I don't know. I think for a lot of people,
I have been sneaking in my own beverages. But I have to say that my movie buttered popcorn consumption has really gone up since the movie pass has come into my life. So the theaters are getting money from me. I'm dumping money on a giant bowl of popcorn that I just shove into my mouth the entire time. Because how else are you going to sit through a movie alone?
Yeah, yeah. Don't do that to yourself. Get the buttered popcorn.
Also, welcome to freelance life, where you can go see a movie in the middle of the day.
Dang, no kidding. No kidding.
Why not?
Now, is MoviePass, do we know, is it just U.S. for now? Probably.
From what I apologize to our overseas pals, but I believe it's only U.S. for right now. So it only works
Yeah, I heard about it when it came, when it launched, and I was very interested. But yes, it's definitely only US for now. So I would love to see that roll out globally. I'm a massive movie buff, so I would love to see this elsewhere.
I know. I mean, I don't really go to the movie theaters very often nowadays, but I used to go very regularly. And man, this back then, it would have been an absolute no-brainer. It almost kind of is a no-brainer when you consider like $7.95 per ticket. Like, we'd have to get one for our entire family, but still, that's like a day. That's an, you know,
it's actually I could see a movie a month.
Sure.
Can you drop in and drop out? Can you drop in and drop out of the service? I mean, because if you come into the summer blockbuster season, that'd be something you could get for a month and get all your kids and on summer holidays and take them to all the movies, and that'd be a great investment.
Yeah.
I think you can drop in and drop out. I haven't tried. And like I said, I have now like a little movie club between my friends and I that we've started. And part of the reason was because we realized we really miss going to the movies. Like, it's a really good way to decompress. It's a really easy movie, really easy date night for you and like a partner or a friend. And I miss the movies, and I live in the burbs. So what are we going to do out here? We're going to go see movies.
Leave the home and get out of the hermit life.
Exactly. I need to leave the house for something. Might as well be at buttered popcorn and
go somewhere where they make better popcorn than you do, probably.
I could never make the kind of popcorn that they do at the theater at my house. I have tried. It is not possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not possible.
Oh, man.
MoviePass. I just wanted to put it out there. Introduce you guys to this thing that I've been enjoying.
I love it. MoviePass. You should check it out right now. Here, if you're in the U.S., $7.95 a month, which is kind of crazy. It's basically all you can watch movies in the movie theater for $7.95 a month. I have a hard time believing it, but
you just
have
to see one movie a month for it to pay off itself.
Yeah,
basically.
That's basically it. Which I mean, then when you consider that, then for someone like me, like that actually. Like I'm always struggling to figure out how are they making money? Like, how is this, you know, an economical thing, a business making, a good business idea for them? But like, I don't see a movie a month. But if I did this, I'd be guaranteed to be paying for a movie a month, whether I see them or not. So they'd be winning.
And popcorn and beverages.
Yeah.
Because I can't get past the concession stand without some M&Ms or Sour Patch Kids.
Oh, man, I'm so hungry for theater food right now.
I know.
I really want a large bag of buttered popcorn.
Maybe I'm with you, Jason.
Maybe we have some popcorn. I know. Well, okay. First of all, if you want to vote for your favorite app this week, you should do so. In fact, please do. twit.to/AAApoll358. twit.to/AAApoll358. Vote for your favorite. Is it Signal Spy? Is it Star Skater? Is it Movie Pass? It's a good arena, folks. And we'll find out what Victor thinks in a moment. Movie Pass, of course.
Wow.
Movies are Victor's.
Victor, do you have a Movie Pass?
Not yet, but when I went to go see Black Panther with the family the other day, I asked them about it, and I was getting a little resistance from the employee. Like, basically, I was like, "Do you guys accept Movie Pass here?" Because we were thinking about getting it. And he was like, "Yeah, but sometimes it." Doesn't work that well, and you know, and like, and then you turn a little bit, look a little to the right, and
grumble,
the theater
grumble.
Has their own version of it too.
So theater has their own. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Cinemark has introduced its own $9 a month, which includes like, we could do a whole episode on what's going on in the movie world.
That's
a whole thing.
I know.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Well, so MoviePass got the vote there. Thank you for placing your vote, Victor, for doing your duty and your service to All About Android. You know, aside from your job.
I'll do my best. Aside from helping us run this thing every Tuesday night.
Yeah, aside from having to do this every single week. We appreciate it. Daniel, it's time for you to go to sleep. I don't want you thinking that right now is the time to go to the movie theater and get popcorn. It's time for you to go to bed. And we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your sleeping schedule.
Seriously. Thank you for being our boots on the ground.
Yes.
Anytime. I love coming on with you guys. So, yeah, anytime you want me on, I'm here. Ready to go.
Absolutely, man. Well, it's a pleasure getting you back. Every time we bring you on, we have a lot of fun. Ostroid.net @FrogHawk Hollow. That's PH Frog Hollow on Twitter. Anything else you want people to know as far as Ozdroid's coverage at Mobile World Congress? Anything that you're looking forward to or got upcoming?
I'm going to go and give the full daydream view at the Lenovo stand a go tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that. But if the most interesting thing that happened to me prior to Mobile World Congress is I actually got to experience Google's Project Wing or Alphabet's Project Wing. They delivered me a burrito via drone, so
that's kind of interesting.
And yeah, so that was a bit of fun. I had to travel out into the bush a bit in outside of town to get it, but they're actually moving into the suburbs to actually try drone deliveries of burritos and pharmacy products in the suburbs probably in the next couple of weeks. They're scanning for people in the Tuggeranong region if you're in Canberra. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome. And was your burrito still warm?
Absolutely. It was really hot. They told us they actually did some tests on it with coffee when they were testing it in the US, and it was actually hotter when it arrived via drone than if they'd walked down to the cafe, picked up a cup of coffee and
brought
it back.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
They actually have special packaging. It's all waterproof and everything. It's really cool. And just seeing this drone flying over the hills and coming in and then drops down your burrito from a little winch and off it goes. It's amazing.
So,
it's real fun to watch.
I am so hungry right now. Like, now we're talking about burritos, buttered popcorn. I can't take this anymore. So you're going to be writing about your experience with Project Wing on Ozdroid?
It has been written up.
Oh, okay. So it's up there now.
For Project Wing, you'll be able to find it. It's up there now. So there's a video of the drone coming in, lowering the food. There isn't a picture of me eating it, but there is a picture of the burrito at the bottom of the page. So
at least there's the burrito.
Yeah, at least the burrito made the fold. That's awesome, man. Well, Daniel, have fun at Barcelona for the remainder of your trip. Don't get the con flu.
I have avoided it so far, but I hope to avoid for the rest of the week. We'll see how we go.
I do too. We'll be following all your guys' coverage from here. But thank you again, and get some rest. We really appreciate it. Oh, there it is. There's the video.
Oh, there it is.
It's the burrito in the sky.
That's so crazy. Is that the future we're looking at right there?
Yes. The future is a burrito delivered from the sky.
What? Look at it. It's hovering.
Yeah.
We were promised jetpacks.
So it flies at 130 kilometers per hour at like 30 to 60 meters. It comes down to about 5 to 10 meters, drops down this little package.
In a field.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, man. I need one of those drones right now.
If you actually go and watch the video, there's actually some kangaroos in the background that apparently are quite popular around there. So they're always turning up when the drones are there.
But, they're like, they know that that there's a burrito delivery happening.
They're going to catch on. And I know those Joeys are really serious. They can beat you up for that burrito.
Yeah, I have been attacked by a kangaroo once. So, yeah, they're feisty.
Did they give you a medal for that? Sorry.
All right. Well, that's Daniel, thank you. Right. Thank you for making us even more hungry now. And yeah, we'll have you back soon. It's always a lot of fun. Thank you. Flo, what about you? What's in your world?
I just want to quickly plug, last week I had a little article go up on how to build shortcuts for the Google Home at reviewed.com. Of course, then a day later, Google decided to announce that it would do routines, actually, that they're actually coming to the Google Home. So until then, if you want to know how to program some stuff, just go to reviewed.com. I'm writing about the Google Home for them, and I've got other stuff in the pipeline that I'm working on. So just stay tuned and follow me on Twitter at OThatFlow. And eventually I'll let you know what's going on.
She'll let you know at Oh That Flow. Right on. Thank you, Flo. Victor, thank you once again for a successful All About Android. And I imagine next week we will have more of the old-timey voice dialed in. Because I'm pretty sure you like practice that every day, right?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Okay. Well, it shows. So thank you.
I love it.
I love it too. YellowGoldMusic.com for me, if you want to find out what I'm doing that has nothing to do with here, And if you want to, you know, check out here, well, you're already there. Twit.tv. That's where you go to find out everything that we're doing with technology. As for this show, 347-SHOW-AAA, if you want to leave us a voicemail, AAA at twit.tv. If you want to send us an email, find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We have the Arena apps list. If you want to check the list and see what's been featured, twit.to/Android apps. Show notes and past episodes can be found at our home on the web. It's twit.tv/AAA. That's where everything that you really need to know about this show can be found. And you can find, you know, this episode and all of our other episodes. If you want to go back to episode one, it's there. twit.tv/AAA. You can catch us live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. That is it for this supersized edition of All About Android. We'll see y'all next week. Bye, everybody. If Ron were here, we'd probably talk for 20 more minutes about Haman. Just saying, that's usually how it goes. Are we all good?
Speaking of ham.
Yeah, speaking of eating, it's Oreo time.
What are you going to eat for us today?
I'm going to start with an edible Oreo. I mean, I tried to eat it, but it didn't work. This guy who is also a guest on today's show, Daniel, sent us three of these 3D printed Oreos. Replicas of the Google Android version of the Oreos with the green filling. Oops. Well, that one's gone. Don't worry. It only fell on a carpeted floor. It'll be okay. These things are indestructible. They're made of plastic. Anyway, so there's one for each of us. So Ron is not here today, but I've got it in a box. I'm going to send it to him with a bunch of other Oreo cookies that I still have to mail out. I can't believe it. I'm so bad at that. But I have one for you, Flo, as well.
Yay! How exciting! Thank you, Daniel.
Ah, they're so slippery.
This is why
apparently.
I need friends with 3D printers, so they could just make me all the stuff that I try to find, like, on the internet.
So,
well, in the process of making these, I actually discovered there's a service called 3D Hubs, and you can actually upload your own STL files because I don't have a 3D printer. So you can actually upload your STL files, and it finds local. That's a bit of a preview of later.
Sounds familiar to me.
It will then go and find you a local 3D printer, and you can get them to then print it out for you, and you can basically just walk over and pick it up.
Versus waiting for Shapeways to make your shape.
Waiting for Shapeways to ship it out. Exactly right.
Right.
So, 3D Hubs.
Should the Oreo that you can't eat be the Oreo of the evening? Or should I eat
I don't know,
strawberry Oreos?
Jason, I think you kind of passed the 5-second rule like a long time ago on that one.
I'm not eating the one that fell on the floor, that's for sure. Okay, so I actually have chocolate strawberry Oreos, which I haven't found in any stores. I don't know when this was a seasonal limited edition thing, but I did get it through Amazon. I've actually been avoiding the dates because I'm afraid to know. I'm not going to.
No? Okay. All right.
We're going to get sick together, everyone. All right. So chocolate strawberry Oreos. Open it up. Hey, they're in good condition on the inside. And this is an Oreo that you can't just look at the outside. You have to pop it a little bit because it's got a little strawberry in the center surrounded
literal
by chocolate.
Literal little bit.
This actually looks really good. So I will try it and I will point the microphone away.
He chews. Now Jason thinks, what does this taste like? Does it taste delicious? Does it taste palatable?
Yeah, it's definitely palatable. I appreciate that it's majority chocolate filling. And because the strawberry does have a little bit of that. You remember, I can't remember what flavor it was, but the like fruity flavor kind of tasted very synthetic. Strawberry kind of has a little bit of that quality, so I appreciate that chocolate is the majority of the flavor. That was pretty good. I wouldn't throw these away. I'd eat maybe one or two of these in a sitting and allow Burke to take the
There's
rest.
There's the Oreo Bandit. I was waiting for the Oreo Bandit to apply.
Oh, I see. It's I thought maybe it was like a sticky hand thing, which is kind of what I think it's a replica
hand
of.
Too.
But it's actually
I thought it was
very homemade.
Oreo Bandit needs better tools.
Yeah, it's made of tape. So chocolate strawberry Oreos.
Score.
6.
Okay.
I mean.
So just as much as the other pinky ones.
Yeah. Like, it's not an amazing flavor. It's. Oh, Burke says it's an 8. Burke's a fan. I mean, it's all right. It's not amazing, though. I'm really hard to please, hard to impress at this point.
We're experts now after all the Oreos we've tasted. So really, true. We are the experts of Oreos now.
So true. And I'm pretty sure I have an Oreo-created cavity in one of my teeth. So you know, thanks a lot, Nabisco.
My mom's a dentist, so comes to you, Jason.
So she can pull my tooth out when it's
sure.
Dying. Good. I'm happy we have this sort of friendship.
Yes.